Hi everyone, my name is Ruji. I hope everyone's doing well. I'm here to read today's scripture, which is taken from the book of Mark, chapters 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all those who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout the Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
I don't know if you can hear me or if you're even there. I don't know if you would listen to a gypsy's prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast. I shouldn't speak to you. Still, I see your face and wonder, were you once an outcast too? God help the outcast. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, we look to you still. God help the outcast where nobody will. I ask for wealth, I ask for fame, I ask for glory to shine on my name. I ask for love I can't possess. I ask for God and His angel to bless me.
Pray with me. On balmy nights under the stars, in rain puddling on our sidewalks, in the snow crunching under our feet, in the soft breath of a baby sleeping, in the delightful songs composed by toddlers, your wonders speak to us, creative God, inviting us to hear the whispers of your hopes, the murmurs of joy skipping in our hearts, the glad shouts of grace waking us each morning. And so in these moments, as we listen, we lift our prayers of thanksgiving to you for your presence in our lives. In the homeless one who asks for a meal, in the robust child who asks us how to pronounce a word, in the senior who struggles to remember yesterday, in the immigrant who worries about tomorrow, in the doctor who has to break the news to a family, to parents who stand at the graveside of their child, you challenge us to offer compassion instead of platitudes, to give of everything we have rather than just pocket change, to bring healing and hope, to offer a listening ear and a passionate voice to all your children who long for someone to hear their hurts, their hearts. And so in these moments, we offer prayers for all who long to know that you and we are with them in every moment. In the deep silence of sleep, in the noise on the floor of a factory, in the swish of a mop, in the tunes of garage bands, in the songs of birds in the morning, and in the whispers of night's breeze, may we continue to listen for your heart, wonder of wonders, to follow, to serve, to be. Amen. If you're at all a fan of college basketball, you've heard "with authority" shouted out more than once by the exuberant and excitable announcer Dick Vitale. When is he most likely to use that phrase? When a player scores on a slam dunk. That is, when a player jumps in the air, rises above the rim of the basket, and stuffs the ball directly through the net. It's an exciting maneuver, and Vitale is known to exclaim that the player stuffed the ball through the basket with authority. In that moment, there is no doubt about the play, nor the dominance of the player. The move is so impressive that the term slam dunk has come into the vernacular, meaning a sure thing, an action with a guaranteed outcome. No doubt about it, he scored with authority. So my question for us today, did Jesus score a slam dunk when he drove the unclean spirit out of the man who cried out, interrupting the lesson that day in the synagogue in Capernaum? I ask this because the text says the congregation was particularly impressed with Jesus. He acted with authority. What does it mean to be someone with authority? What might a 21st century slam dunk and a first century exorcism have in common? The dictionary records that authority means power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior, convincing force, the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience, a person or organization having power or control in a particular, typically political or administrative, or in this case, religious or spiritual sphere. Questions of authority, what it means, who holds it and how it's wielded are in the forefront of our thinking in this time, when it has too often been either undermined or abused before our very eyes. When the basketball player soars above the rim and stuffs the ball, she demonstrates power, command, and convincing force. When Jesus says to the unclean spirit, "Be silent and come out of him," the unclean spirit, convulsing him, and crying with a loud voice came out of him. It sounds like power, command, convincing force on the part of Jesus. Those gathered in the synagogue that day were certainly impressed with Jesus' authority. It was a different order of things than they'd ever seen before. In the Gospel of Mark, this is the first described event in Jesus' ministry. Mark has told us that Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the realm of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That's all well and good, we might ask, but where is the evidence? Well, Mark says, friends, let me start with this story. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and he taught. See, to begin with, Jesus was a teacher, and he had a lesson plan for turning the world around. Now, I said earlier that Jesus acted with authority. Actually, the text says he taught with authority. Action followed the teaching. It illustrated the lesson for the day, if you will. Now, Mark says the congregation was already impressed by Jesus' teaching before he ever acted. And even after the exorcism, Mark records that they were all amazed and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." There must have been something dazzling, compelling about Jesus' teaching. Truth be told, that was probably descriptive of his very presence. He manifested power, command, convincing force in the way he carried himself as he walked this earth. It was palpable to those present every time he entered a room or came on the scene. He moved with authority. Sometimes the response was amazement. Sometimes fear, sometimes ridicule. Some experienced his authority as good news, some as bad news, the end of their own claims to power, command, and convincing force. Regardless of the reaction, one truth I believe is important to the good news, particularly in Mark's gospel. Jesus' teaching and his action go hand in hand. They are of one piece. Jesus both talks the talk and walks the walk. And he does it with power, command, convincing force, with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. It's interesting that Mark, the action writer of the New Testament, doesn't tell us what Jesus was teaching that day. In Luke's account of Jesus' teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, we get the good news from the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of God's favor. But Mark leaves us to speculate on the content of Jesus' teaching that day. That is, until he shows us what Jesus had come to share. There are clues to what Jesus was teaching in the way in which he responded. You know, once or twice in my ministry, I've had a sermon interrupted by a heckler or disrupted by some sort of disturbance in the congregation. I will confess that I have never knowingly confronted an unclean spirit, but I have encountered some difficult and disturbed folk in my ministry and in my practice of counseling. In those moments, it's not unusual to feel confused, irritated, maybe fearful. It can certainly be disorienting to be interrupted, whether you're going for a slam dunk, wise counsel, or proclamation of the Word of God. So one thing that is impressive about Jesus' action on this day is that he doesn't miss a beat. He turns immediately and directly to the man who cried out. He stops what he is doing to attend to a pressing need. There will be plenty of time for teaching later. Right now, there is a child of God standing in front of him, crying out in pain. This man must be attended to before Jesus can do anything else. If Jesus was teaching about compassion and care for one another, the opportunity for demonstration is put before him. How will he respond? With authority. The authority of a servant of God who has great concern for every aspect of what God has created. In today's words of preparation I read earlier, Walter Wink says that compassion is the hallmark of Jesus' God. Consequently, Jesus' healings and exorcisms, which play such a major role in his ministry, are not simply patches on a body destined for death regardless. They are manifestations of God's reign on earth now, an inbreaking of eternity into time, a revelation of God's merciful nature, a promise of the restitution of all things in the heart of the loving author of the universe. In essence, Jesus' authority is a manifestation of God's reign on earth now. The Word made flesh, living among us, full of grace and truth, inviting us to join in that ministry. David Luce makes a helpful observation about the importance of beginnings, the power of first impressions, when he writes about Mark. First events give insight into the larger themes and particularly a distinct understanding of Jesus' mission and character in each of the Gospels. See, the opening signals for us what the story is about and how it will unfold. Luce then notes that Mark begins by Jesus picking a fight with an unclean spirit. That seems consistent with someone who comes with his own authority. He's not at all intimidated by the unclean spirit, or at least that's the way in which he behaves. Luce concludes that then, keeping in mind the importance of first events, we can read this scene in Mark's as Mark's signal that Jesus has come to oppose all the forces that keep the children of God from abundant life, from the abundant life that God desires for all of us. And that message matters because it is still the case. God wants the most for us from this life and stands in opposition to anything that robs us of the joy and the community and purpose for which we were created. Can there be better news than that? Jesus comes with authority from the Creator of the universe to proclaim and to demonstrate opposition to all the forces that keep the children of God from the abundant life God desires for each and all of us. What are some of the forces that oppose God's will, God's shalom, God's desire for peace and well-being in creation? What are the powers we engage as we walk this world? We may not have much firsthand experience with possession by unclean spirits, at least as first century people understood them. But I dare say the power of possession is not foreign to us. Luce suggests anger, fear, workaholism, affluenza, substance abuse as possible 21st century powers, obsessions, if not possessions, with which we might be familiar. What might you add to the list this morning? What ideas, feelings, practices haunt you or someone you know and for whom you care? What sort of things come between us and God like an unclean spirit? What demons doom your best intentions and keep you from being your best self, all that God has made you to be? And beyond our individual selves, what forces walk among us wreaking havoc on the social order and the well-being of creation itself? Where on our planet has abuse of power corrupted authority, causing pain and distress before our very eyes? Where then might we, as followers of Jesus, raise our own voices to say, with authority, with the power of our faith and practice, with the command of our committed discipleship, with the convincing force of a child of God, be silent, come out, and get out. You're neither needed nor wanted here. You see, there's a new day coming. In God's realm, there's always a new day coming. There's a revised order of things. If we have the courage, we can claim a new authority that is as old as time and as big as the universe. God loves the world and delights in all creation, yes, even you and me. God is in Christ redeeming the whole of creation to God's self. This is good news, friends. The old order of fear and distrust crumbles. What have you to do with us, Jesus, followers of? What have you to do with us, you followers of Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are, you siblings of the Holy One of God. The challenge is, can we learn to teach and to act with the authority of the one who comes from God, calling us to join in bringing about God's beloved community on earth as in heaven? Talking the talk and walking the walk, inseparably as Christ's own body. What could be a more fulfilling life for a child of God? Who knows? You might even be led to attempt a slam dunk for Jesus with authority. Amen.